Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 43. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers, and all came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. This is the word of the Lord. This has been a day that we have been looking forward to for quite some time in the life of Pisgah Church, ever since Hal called me one evening and said, it's twins, and I can't wait for you to baptize them, he said. It was an honor just to hear those words, and it is an honor now to stand here in this place with this big smile on my face. But we need to talk a bit about what baptism is for a moment. The image of baptism itself seems to afford us endless symbolism for what we could connect to us. The water itself brings to mind all of those biblical ideas that we heard about in the prayer this morning. The separation of the waters in creation, the great flood that covered the earth, the water that saved the baby Moses in the basket, the water that parted in the Red Sea before the Israelites and then crashed down again over the Egyptian soldiers. The water that came from the rock in the desert and gave drink to the people who needed it so that they would not go thirsty. The water, of course, that Jesus was baptized in. The water, the river of life that flows through the middle of the city in the New Jerusalem. All of these images bring to mind such wonderful symbolism for what baptism is and what it means to us. But on this day where it is as practical as it possibly could be for us, where it is before our eyes, the question must be, what is baptism really? It is, of course, about the cleansing of sins, but when you look at these babies, you wonder how they could possibly be connected to sin in any way. And so we talk about original sin and all of those things, but it doesn't quite seem to cover this morning. We also talk, of course, about baptism as being the incorporation of these children into the body of Christ, making them members of the household of God. But I have to tell you, at this point, they can't do very much. At this point, in terms of being members of the household of God, they are pretty lazy about it. I've never seen either one of them at a committee meeting or at a work day. These babies just kind of lay around and eat all day and sleep every once in a while, too. I haven't received a check from either of these babies yet. And so bringing them into the household of God doesn't quite seem to cover what this day is about either. So what is it? What just happened for these most special children? Our scripture from Acts, I think, puts it well today. Peter says to the people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord calls. It is a promise that is given not just to the people that were standing there that day with Peter, not just to the 3,000 that were added to their number that day, but it is a promise that is given to their children and their children and their children until ultimately it is given to you and I. It is just as real this day for us as it was for those first Christians standing there listening to Peter. It is just as real for Trey and for Claire this morning. They will be forgiven of their sins now and for always and always. They will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they already have, and they will find ways in which that lives out in their lives over and over again each and every day. That is what is behind door number one for these babies, that they are given a promise by God that is more special than any other promise that they will ever receive. It is a promise that they need to be reassured of every single day of their lives. Which brings us to door number two. Because you see, the promise that God gives them is not the only promise that they heard this day. They also have the luck, have the joy of two wonderful parents who love them so very, very much, who care enough about them to bring them to this place and to present them before the Lord for baptism, that they might truly receive those gifts that God has promised. They will have parents who will love them and care for them and provide a home that is filled up with the Holy Spirit each and every day of their lives. It is a blessing that they are given, and they have no idea right now how very lucky they are. But they will. For they get what's behind door number one and door number two, which brings us to door number three this morning. You and me, the congregation here at Pisgah Presbyterian Church, we have made a promise to do the following: to guide and to nurture them by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of this church. That is no light promise that we have made. It is a promise that you all made this day in this congregation just a few minutes ago in front of God and all of these witnesses. It is a solemn vow that we take very, very seriously in the life of the church. It's our job to provide the right environment in which these babies will grow and will be faithful members and faithful followers of Christ. We have to have the most wonderful nursery around when they are of this age. And then as they grow a little bit, we have to have the best children's programs, both in children's church and during worship, that they can go to and be loved and nurtured and cared for. And then as they grow even more, we have to have the most active and spirit-filled youth group around, that they can be in fellowship with their peers and learn to love God and have fun doing so. We have to love them through the tumultuous teenage years. We have to love them through the arrogant college years. We have to be there when they have children. We have to make the same promises to their children that we have just made to them. As they get older, we have to provide deep biblical scriptures, retreats, mission opportunities for which them to participate. As they move into the twilight years of their lives, we have to be there so that they can continue to grow and to be nurtured in the faith. When they get older, we have to be there for them, loving them and carrying them, visiting them in the nursing home if we need to, sending them CDs of worship, making the sanctuary as accessible as possible. We have made a promise to love and to care for both of them from this time on and forever and ever. It is no small promise that we have made. I know the practical ones sitting out there this morning are thinking, well, they're going to grow up and they'll get married and they'll move away somewhere and we'll never see them again. And so how are we to fulfill all of these promises from now until their dying day? And that, friends, is what the beauty of the church universal is. It is a promise that comes along with being incorporated into the body of Christ, into the household of God, that although we may be far away from that place where we were baptized, although you may not be anywhere near that original font or that original church in which you are baptized, the promise still stands. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls. I may not have been there when each and every one of you was baptized, but a promise was made on my behalf. You may not have been there when I was baptized in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, by a group of Presbyterians that you'll never know or meet, but a promise was made that day on your behalf. It is a promise that is not just kept by some in the household of God, but it is a promise kept by every single member of the body of Christ, the hands and the feet and the legs and the arms, a promise that is made that no matter where you may go, no matter where they may go, that they will be loved and cared for and upheld in their lives. That is the true meaning of the church universal. That is the gift that we have of the body of Christ. So friends, I ask this day that you remember your baptism. Remember it. Whether you were 6 weeks old or 60 years old, remember your baptism this day and be at peace, for you are held in the palms of a God who loves you, of a church who will never, ever let you go, of a body of Christ that promises to be there for you from now until your dying day. It is a promise that is for you, for your children, for all those that are far away. Thanks be to God. Amen.